again, everyone. It's another podcast, another beautiful day wherever you are. I'm sure it's a beautiful day. This could be 20 years from now that you're listening to this podcast, so we don't really want to date it. But I'm Stephanie Hoover with LP Magazine and have the pleasure of talking with Tom Meehan today. And Tom is, I refer to him as El Presidente. I don't know if you knew that, Tom. That's your name now.
I appreciate it. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Tom?
Good. I know anybody, anytime, anywhere, but it snowed in New Jersey. We had almost a foot of snow. So this is the first real snow in a couple of years. I was out in Arizona and then I came home to a foot of snow.
Nice. Yeah. The weather is really crazy. There's no snow here in Chicago. We haven't had any for a little bit. So
well, you could have it. You can have it for me.
can't predict what's going to happen. So Tom and I, you've known each other for a while. How long have we known each other, Tom? It's been a few years.
It's been a few years. I actually don't know when we met. I think we met actually a long time ago somewhere with Wayne, and then we ended up circling back and working together, which is in this industry what kind of happens, right? Everybody works with someone. Like the 6 degrees of separation and an LP is probably 2 degrees of separation.
I know, right? And it's I'm always running into people that I saw at some point. It seems like I've got either the Toys R Us connection or the, you know, there's some connection of someplace I worked. Yeah. So you want to talk a little bit about your beginnings of your career?
So, I don't think this wasn't the roadmap that I would have told you years ago. I started working on my own in what today would be called a cool startup. What I would say was me and a bunch of friends pulling wire in the 90s for law firms when networking was brand new and had no idea what we were doing. It was, you know, more of a trade type of thing. We were all kind of geeky nerds while we're going to school. And then I got into retail because a buddy of mine said, hey, you could work in retail part time and get benefits while you're running, you know, this little small company. And that's how I got into retail. And I didn't start in LP. I worked in a bunch of different departments and ops roles, and then ended up working in loss prevention, traditional, what you'd say loss prevention at Home Depot, just about 24 years ago. So maybe 25 now. Worked there for a few years, did a whole bunch of jobs, loved it, and ended up moving into Bloomingdale's. Spent a bulk of my career in Bloomingdale's, and then about 7.5 years ago, switched sides, as everybody says, to become a solution provider. And again, still not the path. You and I actually worked together when I started with Control Tech. It was really technology, product focused. That was where I always felt like I should be. But then ended up getting really ingrained in the business. And here I am today. I started when I was like 6. So I got a head start on everybody. But yeah.
It's true. It does feel like that. But it does feel like also it's been a really long time in the, you know, on this career path. But, you know, you make a good point. I think folks that set out to go into loss prevention, they got to have an open mind, because if you're good at your job, you're going to be pulled into different directions, right? Into different, not just departments, but, you know, verticals of the business. I think you're a testament to that, Tom.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know, Steph, for you, but I always go back to my first LP job. We didn't even have email. There were no cell phones. There was no email. Right? There were no camera. None of those things existed. We still had VCR tapes. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's a big tape you put in. Yeah. And, and it was just... part of me is I feel so lucky that I got to go through this evolution of, you know, there was no doc. It really was, there were no websites, even shopping websites when it started. Mm-hmm. So in one sense, it's been great. In the other sense, I think the evolution has been crazy in the last, you know, 20 years, but the last 5 years, it's changed so much. I think, everybody should be aware of that. I think the old days of the career path is probably not the same anymore.
No, I think it's probably unrecognizable, actually. Just in the speed of change in the business it blows my mind. It seems like every day there's something new happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, so let's back up for a second. And you're my go-to tech guy. Like, I know you did Tom's Tech Tips for a long time, and you always have your finger on the pulse of that. What tips do you have for a newbie podcaster?
I think the newbie. Time. Yeah, the newbie podcaster piece is you have to start somewhere and you have to be patient. Like it takes a really long time. You know, I always use the Joe Rogan example. Like Mike Tyson's not getting on our podcast with us. The president is not getting a podcast with us. So it takes sometimes a year before you get anywhere from a subscription basis, and you have to be consistent and patient. And I also think like don't take it too serious, right? Like it's a medium where you can have fun. You don't need to be super scripted. You know, I always say like it's okay to just start and get involved. And then for the listeners of this podcast, like you'd be amazed at how easy it is to email Stephanie and say, I have something to talk about. I'd love to get on the podcast. Or most podcasts, it is actually that easy to get on them.
Yeah, I am so open to that. Like, that's one of the things with the magazine. We always try to stress when I go out to meetings and stuff. So I'm, hey, do you want to write? Do you want to, do a podcast with me? You've got something interesting to say or something interesting to write about? By all means, like we totally encourage that. And that's one of the things I love. Tom, you've been working with us at the magazine for a really long time. Do you want to talk about what that's like or what that experience
Yeah.
has been like?
Yeah. So that's probably the number one question, believe it or not, when I speak or do things, is people ask me, like, how did you get involved in the magazine? And the way I got involved was, you know, someone asked me, Jack asked me years ago, I think it was like 10 years ago. And my initial thought process was, like, I don't know how to write. You know, I don't know what to do. And Jack said, there's a lot of really interesting things you talk about, put them on paper, will help you get through it. And for anybody that's listening to this, it really the content is king. If you have really good information, Stephanie and the team at the magazine will help you if you're not a natural writer. Like my style has changed over the years. I tend to be like a more storyteller type writer, but it took me a long time. And then now I kind of just it's more about what do I want to write about, and what I write about are things that you know I'm directly involved in. But if you want to write, it is literally just the same kind of thing. Send an email and say, hey, I have this topic, you know, what are your thoughts? And Savvy, I don't want to speak for you. I don't think you would ever turn something down. It's just a matter of making it make sense. And you guys are phenomenal at helping folks with grammar, with you know setup, because it isn't that easy if you've never done it before, and it does take a lot of time. But it is the number one question I get asked. But interestingly enough, I only know of one person that actually followed up and emailed Stephanie. Everybody
No,
asks me everywhere I go. It's wild.
it's super frustrating, Tom, I have to tell you, because I know that there's a lot of folks that do interesting things out there. They have cases that they've worked on that are really cool. Those are the kinds of things we would love to get submissions of. And I know people want to, but they're just, I think they're intimidated for some reason. And I was kind of the same way. Like the way I got involved with the magazine years ago is I just submitted something, and that was it, right? But there's so many tools too, besides our team helping people. Like there's this Grammarly that basically tells you how to write now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just a lot of ways to get involved with it. But same thing, podcasts, all of that. We'd love to get people involved with the magazine. So, but thank you for your support of the magazine. You've been writing for us for a long time, and I know one of the things that you love to write about is, tech and what's happening in retail. We recently, and I know you were there as well, we were at the big show in New York. As I was walking the floor and even looking at the different sessions that were going on, I kept seeing this recurring theme of AI. It was everywhere. And I think pretty much if you had a booth, you had something to do with AI in your booth. I
Yeah.
have my thoughts on that, but I kind of want to, I'm just teeing it up for you. I want to hear what you have to say about it, Tom.
So interestingly enough, this week I actually did a keynote at a conference on artificial intelligence for retail. So it's more timely than ever. You know, we probably need to have a separate podcast about it because there's a lot of thoughts there. Is that you know, it depends on how you define AI. AI is an umbrella term. You know, at its core, AI just means a computer mimicking human behavior. Or trying to mimic human behavior. So there are a lot of automation type processes that are technically AI. It is a bit of a buzzword, so it's kind of marketing gold now. However, I would say that what I saw was a lot more of real implementations of AI, you know, generative AI, so ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, the Llama, any of the generative engines out there. can be almost applied to anything at this point. So what I saw a lot of at the show was like a natural language process. You could ask it a question and then it used generative AI to answer it. What the practicality is really depends on, where you sit. I think from at the show, the next iteration of chatbots is real, where you're not having this narrow or weak AI that just answers canned questions, but can start to really answer questions. I also saw a huge implementation, or at least an attempt in computer vision, where we're starting to say, okay, instead of typing things out, can I do that? I don't think it's going away. I think it's here to stay. I would encourage everybody to educate yourself. And that's the ma magazine's a great platform. Podcasts are a great platform on what it means for you. There's a lot of misinformation on what it is. But the reality and the stark reality is it's here for real, and it will impact all of us. It's not a doomsday or a comment. It's just, if you're not using it today and understanding how it can help your job and your personal life, you probably will lose out on something. And you used Grammarly. Grammarly is a form of AI. It's a more narrow form of AI. I always say spell check on steroids, right? And I love Grammarly for, I always run things through a couple different things to say, hey, how does this read today? At the show and in the real world, we're going to see rapid growth. I also think we're going to see rapid disruption around the job market. And UPS publicly said, we're laying off 12,000 people. And in their statement, we're focused on generative AI and artificial intelligence to enhance customer experience. And I'll leave you with this. McKinsey did a study and said it'll affect 800 million jobs by 2030. I don't know what that means. I don't have a crystal ball. But it's probably 50% buzzword, 50% real, and real means a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's like I almost wonder if it's in the tech world, we sort of swing back and forth with all these reactions, and I sort of wonder if we're overreacting a little bit. I'm sort of a wait and see person anyway, right? I'm gonna check it out, and I am checking it out, but at the same time, I'm not freaking out. I want to sort of wait and see what are the impacts going to be. And if we're talking about already they're laying off ahead of this AI being implemented, that seems reactionary, a little bit extreme, is my thoughts on it.
Yeah. Also, you don't know what is a good narrative that it's being put out. It's very hard to understand when you're reading things.
That's true.
You snippets of what it is. What I would say is that I encourage everybody to use it. The one big difference with AI is not new. It's been around since 1940, right, in the 40s. So like the one big difference is that it was made in 2 years ago, consumerly available. And that's what really drove all of the hype, is that you could go online and use this for free. So I think that's the hype. I don't know that, I wouldn't even pretend to predict what the overall impact is. I do see some really, really good positive things that will come out of it, from an efficiency enhancement and also a time saver. And that's why I keep telling everybody, like, everybody's different, right? Like, for you and me, people that write, it's nice to have something proofread something in 1 second and go back and then say, hey, you missed this or you missed that. But you have to know how to use it. You have to understand that it's not always right. But I find it fascinating that the real implementations are real, really cool. But like I said, when you're walking a show floor, how much of it is a buzzword? How much of it is marketing taking advantage of it? We don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you did the same thing. I would stop at booths and I'm like, okay, I see you have this big AI sign here. I'm like that annoying person out on the show floor, right? And I was like, hey, what do you mean by AI? And they would tell me, and I'm like, well, that's not machine learning. It's just you have cameras and you have some computer stuff in the background. That's not really learning. Oh, you're right. It's not really, but that's our marketing, So that was kind of interesting to see that. And there was multiple booths that I stopped by that had the same sort of comments on that.
It's a tough one because you don't know. AI is an umbrella, like I said, it's an umbrella term. It depends on where you wanna draw the line in the sand. I saw a lot of older things w that were named something different. And again, that's not a bad or a good. It's just, what it is.
So you just completed an article for us, Tom, that's coming out in our next print issue. And I think you talked about this a little bit. It's sort of like this retail 4.0, right? And I think that AI definitely has a place in there. Just off the top of your head, what are some applications that you would see loss prevention using AI with?
So computer vision comes to mind first in the sense of that today we do a lot of things manually that really easily could be taken on for AI. So categorizing, what you'd say were basic alerts, or even better, asking a question in human language to a video system and getting a pretty good result. Exception-based reporting, getting away from that kind of same, thing here and starting to use models to identify things earlier in it. So a more predictive or an indicator that, hey, this behavior looks suspicious. I don't know if it is, but kind of ruling that out. I also see kind of a huge piece of in anything inventory related where there's automation and models that can be put in, incorporated with the RFID or like the digital twin piece that I wrote about, of saying like we are at the point today where we can literally take everything we do and make a digital model of it. So there's a huge, huge benefit there. And then just us as people, all of the things that we think are time burglars, the way we manage our email, the way we manage our schedule, those are all things that we can use right now. And I think that that's not even all the use cases. And that article, I was really focused on kind of the parallels between Industry 4.0 and the digitization in the manufacturing world, that it's almost exactly the same as what occurred in retail, only we didn't talk about it, where, this hyper digitization and this taking the physical and making it digital. So whether you incorporate AI into that or not is kind of where you sit. But I think in the next year, most of our readers of the magazine are going to be implementing some form of true, real, more advanced AI than what we've seen in the past.
Right. I think, we were at our fall meeting, and I'm not sure if you were in the room when this happened, but there was a little discussion about how accurate, how factual is the information that the AI, let's say it's ChatGPT that we're talking about, and that there is some concern that it's using the information that's out there, right? So it's coming from humans to begin with. So how much faith can we put in to this AI? So if we begin to turn over all of these functions to AI and just assume that it's accurate, is that's a little scary to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. I think that again depends on what type of AI. So like using ChatGPT or generative AI as an example, super cool to look at, but really what it is it's a model that collected all of the data it could from the internet and it creates a large language model and predicts what it thinks you want it to say. So if that data is bad, then it's going to give you a bad input. I think that that's part of the evolution of understanding what it is. That's the same argument I would have about if you're researching online, it's just doing it faster for you. The hallucination piece of it making things up, or these black box events that aren't explained are why I consistently tell folks, hey, like, let's make sure if you're using it, you spend the, 30 to 40 seconds to validate what it says. And it's still pretty new. And I think there are a lot of people that are afraid to say, we don't necessarily know why some things occur. So you're 100% right. Like in the sense of if you're a lawyer and you're using it, you're running a risk of making a big mistake. If you're using it to proofread your emails, you're probably okay. It's just, there's got to be some sort of logic in between it. If you're using it to enhance an investigation, not do an investigation for you, I think that's where the tools are really going to help. If you are setting up bots to make your life automated and sit with your feet up, you're probably going to be upset with the end result.
What was the movie with the people just motoring around in their chairs? It was an animated kids movie years ago, but I feel like that's maybe sort of where we're headed, right? It's like
Yeah.
sitting with our feet up.
But Yeah, I will say that it does make us not, there is a factual piece that it makes us not smart. Cell phones, there was a study that just came out about our smartphones that our brains are shrinking. I don't know about you, but I could rem when I started my investigations career, I could remember any phone number, any number. I mean, it was innate. Like, I remember doing investigations by employee numbers, and it was just stuck in my brain. I
Yep.
know maybe three phone numbers now, and that's
Well,
it.
it could also be because we're getting older, Tom.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm blaming it on the cell phones.
Yes, I'm going with that story. Stick to that. Too funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So I'm sure we'll be writing more about it as we go along. But hey, I just wanted to talk with you real quick. I know you were just traveling again. Did you go any place cool? You and I have traveled together before and had a lot of fun, by the way. Probably too much fun.
Yeah.
But where did you go
Yes.
recently?
Well, so I think we can't say that without saying so that we actually went to China together. So we did have a lot of fun. And that was a great experience. Recently, I was so I was in Croatia, Bosnia, Germany, working, with the Control Tech team on some sustainability initiatives that we have. We recycle some specific types of plastic in Bosnia. The EU has better regulations, so it's easier to kind of do things in our packaging division. We do some things all over Europe. And then in the past 6 months, I think I've been to almost every European country for something, which is kind of cool. And lots of travel, lots of visiting customers, doing a lot of different things.
Any interesting foods that you've tried? I'm thinking of one on our China trip, but anything?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm pretty picky, but I will tell you that most of the food that I've eaten recently has been really good food, but not really super interesting. When I went to India over the summer, and I ate a lot of different things there in India, and I didn't have any bad experiences. I'm not sure that there are things that I would be like, oh, let's get that again, but they were good. I tend to kind of stick to the
Yep.
same things that to eat when I travel. And Europe is most even, Poland and the Czech or Finland, there's a lot of really good food options. The people are really warm and happy to see you, and so it's not hard to find good food. And remarkably, right, they're really hospitable when you're coming from the US. Like, you seem to get the better food. Like, it
Oh,
was
wow.
great.
Okay.
Great food everywhere I went. Not necessarily the same as our China experience, I would say,
KFC and then getting on a high-speed train. I don't recommend those two things.
Yes. The high speed trains are fun though.
Oh yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. I'm sure there's lots of trains and planes over in Europe as well.
Yeah. Lots of trains and planes. I went on some small planes, little propeller planes, but all very good stuff. The
Very cool.
weather was good. I think it's interesting traveling globally when you see our news media and some of the conflict and hearing folks talk about it that are literally right there, how different the some of the opinions and perceptions are, and the perception of the US. I think the world is a crazy place right now. So everywhere I go, I would say that there are similar challenges, yet we don't hear or see them.
Right.
Political, polarizing political climates in almost everywhere I go. The economy is everybody's not sure. The AI piece is the same. So while we're on this giant island called North America, it's amazing how people are very similar when you get to the core of what's going on.
Right. Well, I don't think people, in especially in the U.S., really watch international news. First of all, it's hard to find anymore unless you really seek it out. But
Yeah.
and I do recommend traveling. It really opens your eyes to what's going on out there. And I'm sure, in your travels, you've sort of maybe changed your mindset or become more open to things. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, I say it all the time. I'm so grateful that I got to travel. You get to see, in some cases, how good of a country we are in comparison. And not that there's no other way to say it. There's poverty, and then there's poverty in some of these countries where people are fighting to drink dirty water. There's nothing for them, you know. So you definitely have a different perception of life in general. You also find that people are good people everywhere. I think a lot of the countries I go to is in China specifically. I know we were there. Is you hear all of this stuff about China, but when you meet with the people, they're really good people. Sometimes the government overshadows the good family people that are, you know, just, you
Just
know,
trying to make
trying to make a
okay.
living. Yeah, exactly. And you wouldn't necessarily, based on some of the media piece, same thing if you go to Central Europe or even very close to what's going on in the Ukraine, is the people are good people. Like they're just, you know, they don't necessarily have a lot of say in what goes on in some of these countries, but it's interesting. At the core, people are just trying to make a living, take care of their family. And I would argue it's the same as here. There are bad people, but the majority of people you meet are good and aren't as anti-American as I think people think they are. You know, they're just regular people. I mean, when we went together, I would say that everywhere we went, everybody's pretty warm and really welcoming and genuine about it. Yeah.
Absolutely amazed. That was one of my biggest takeaways, is just how welcoming people were in China. It was amazing, because you kind of have this idea of, oh, it's, communism, and people are going to be suspicious. But no, they were super warm. And in fact, I mean, I remember I wasn't feeling good. They went out of their way to go get me like a big bag of ginger candy, just
Yeah.
stuff like that. It was crazy. Just the gifts they would give you, just like a welcoming gift and things like that. It was just really, really sweet. But yeah, and I gotta recommend it. People need to travel more
Yeah.
than the US, outside of the US.
Yep. They definitely do. And I would say that it's much safer than I think people think as well. I think it, you know, property crime in some countries, like a lot of European countries, the worst thing it's you're going to see is a pickpocket. As a matter of fact, I would argue in most places that, you know, outside of some Latin American countries, you know, you're really like not likely to see crime or have an issue in most of the places I get to go to. And it's like anything else, I always tell everybody is like, maybe, you know, you have to be smart about where you go, but that would mean any city. There are some places you shouldn't go in any city. There are certain things you shouldn't do in any city. But yeah, I agree with you. If you have the opportunity to travel and you'll get out there and meet people, and you'll get to see what other people live like. But it's fun. Like I have friends all over the world now. So like when I go to Germany, I text the same people and try to connect with them. And it really is at the end of the day, people are people.
That's true. So true. Well, I'm glad you guys were able to get over there. And it sounds like ControlTech's doing some cool stuff with the recycling programs. It's really good to hear that. Anything else new at ControlTech?
Yeah, I think just a lot of new faces. We're growing rapidly, which is awesome.
Great.
I think you know, we bought on some new sales folks and some new technical folks. There's a lot of openings, so keep an eye on the news if you're looking for any technical roles. We have a ton. RFID is kind of a big push for us. It has been for the last few years, both for inventory visibility and asset tracking, and doing some loss prevention specific things. You know, alerting when people leave. Our traditional, you know, kind of our traditional EAS business is doing very well. We've incorporated some technology into those pieces. We do have AI in our inventory management suite, but
Is it really?
it is real AI, but it's really about inventory management, helping understand what replenishment looks like, and a model just kind of try to identify that every store is not the same. So that's one of the things that we're working on. And then on the packaging side, the sustainability side, a lot of really exciting stuff, growth, and busy, which is great
Good.
right now. And we're really grateful for the magazine and the customers. And you know, I always say like this industry is very different. Everybody knows everybody, so it makes it a lot of fun. But a lot of exciting stuff to come. I think we'll make a few announcements around, you know, additions to the team in the next couple weeks. I don't know when people are hearing this, but you know, a lot of activity, which is always good.
Excellent. Well, it's good to hear that. I'm glad you guys are doing well, and that you're still having fun getting out there and doing it. I love it. Tom, I probably have to do like a part two or part three of our conversation. We have
Definitely.
much to talk about and to catch up on, but it's been great talking with you. And when am I going to see you next?
Are you going to be at LPRC
Yeah, I'll be in
Innovate,
LPRC.
iterate. So
Yep.
that's like 2 weeks, right?
Yep. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
There you go. See that? And
All right.
hopefully we'll see some other folks there. I don't know if this is going to be out before then, but if it is,
We're gonna try to get it out before then. Yep.
awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thanks, Tom. Always good to talk with you.